Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, welcome to Blockchain Life. I have with me another amazing guest. It's Carissa Winnett, the chief of staff. We had a little joke about all that good stuff, but she's here and I literally Googled, I'm not even kidding. I Googled like women who are crushing it on blockchain because I had a lot of guys so far in the podcast. And once, put it this way, you're rare, but you're growing fast. Like the females are taking over, which is amazing, but talk to us. Give us your background. We already chatted. You like startups. Tell us why. And I'm thrilled to learn more about you today.
Absolutely. So I'm Carissa. I'm the chief of staff of NFT Genius. And why I love startups. Well, I mean, I've had a very interesting career thus far. So I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. I've done the corporate, you know, I worked at HBO, CBS, STX, but I've also done a very long stint in startups, and I prefer the startup culture. I prefer startups in general. They're more chaotic, do not get me wrong. They're less organized in some cases. True. But the truth of the matter is the opportunity is so much greater with the startup. You get to find out who you are. You get to find out about yourself. I had a mentor very early on. His name was Jay Crouch, and he basically, like 99% of my job, when you get out of school, out of certain parts of your life, you're so conditioned to be told what to do. Class, you go to school at 8 o'clock, you have lunch at noon, yes. School ends at 3. You're so rigid that you actually do not know how to think for yourself. Everyone's kind of given you the answer to some degree. Mm. So when you get into the working world, you really do expect the working world to emulate school. And for all intents and purposes, it does, until you get into a startup. And a lot of a startup is, and I was taught very early on, was figure it out.
Yes.
I'd go to my boss. He was a CTO. And he'd be like, I'm like, how do we do this? And I'm sitting there like super excited to learn. Like, I'm going to write this down. He's going to tell me to do it. And he'd be like, go figure it out. I'm like, what the fuck? Sorry. I'm not over. Sorry. I didn't mean to curse.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, what do you mean? Go figure it out. How do I do that? He's like, well, you did it. You know how to Google. You know how to do all these things. Like, go figure it out.
And I'm wow. Like,
okay, sure. And I remember the fear of just like, I don't know how to do this.
Yes.
And, shortly you start to get that confidence under your feet, mm-hmm. and you do figure it out. So then my motto was like, well, I can just do it. Like, I don't even need, like, tell me what you want and I'll go figure it out.
Yes.
And that stuck with me throughout all of my life is just tell me what you want. I'll figure it out. I'll either find someone to teach me. I'll teach myself. There's usually YouTube University where there's 8 million things on YouTube and Google University.
Yes.
Or, you know, if it's something that's out of my skill set, which there are things where you have to have those, you know, those come to Jesus talks where you're like, okay, yes. I'm just not good at this. Like,
right.
I could put 100 hours in this and I would still be the worst person at this particular product or project. I go on, you know, Upwork or Fiverr, and I find someone to do it for me for a small cost because they'll do it better than me because they're an expert in that particular thing.
So,
and the startup being able to do that, being able to say, okay, I don't have the bandwidth to take on social media posting. We don't have the budget to hire someone full time, but I can find a program and I can write out all the posts and I can do this and I can schedule it to post for me. It's being able to say, okay, here's a problem. There's 7 solutions. Which one works best? And guess what? You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna move fast and you're gonna break things. But that's the best part about startups is because when you break something, you learn how to fix it.
Yes.
And no one can take that knowledge away from you.
That's all right.
So no one can take that away from you. So as a woman in business, I'm already kind of at a disadvantage because I'm looked at as a woman. And I know that doesn't sound reassuring, but it is. And I'll tell you why being a woman in business and being looked at as a lesser being is kind of an advantage.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Can you bring up either A, bring up your other AirPod, or B, turn it off? Because I only hear part of it now. Now I gotcha.
Yay.
So you said it's to your advantage being a woman. Yes. Tell us why.
It's to your advantage to be a woman. Because one, when I walk into a room, usually they're like, oh, she's the assistant. yes, in most cases I was the assistant, but I also had earned the trust and the relationship with my CEO or my CTO or my CFO to where I was the person who would take the meetings on their behalf in some cases.
Oh yeah.
So he wouldn't even show up. He'd be like, ah, Chris has got this, it's fine. And I would be the ones making the active decisions behind the scenes. So he's off, you know, getting funding or he's off doing something. And I'm in the trenches day to day taking the meetings that a CEO takes because I come off very disarming. I'm the assistant. Nobody cares. You can talk whatever you want in front of the assistant. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, if you're saying this in front of me, what aren't you saying to him?
Wow. Oh, that's good.
It's actually an advantage to be at a disadvantage sometimes. And you just have to learn how to use it. So I was young, especially in startups. I started off real young. And I learned really quickly. I was very lucky and I had the aptitude to learn quickly. So I got given a lot of responsibility very quickly. And I became an extension of my boss. A lot of people forget that an executive assistant, which is what I think why executive assistants get really frustrated in life, they're extensions of their boss. Mm. They read their boss's emails in most cases. They answer all their boss's emails on their behalf. They open all their boss's mail. They are the ones that are usually taking notes in all the meetings. They're the touch point. They know everything.
This is so good.
They know everything. We're literally like the definition of gatekeeper is it's way beyond that. In some cases, a CEO or like when I was an executive assistant, this doesn't even talk about my chief of staff experience. But as an executive assistant, I would spend hours talking to the CTO over strategy, over implementation, over who to hire, over who to fire, over pros and cons of why we hired them. I mean, there's been instances where as the executive assistant, I was the last interview to hire our
Yeah, because you knew it.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, why am I? I remember this very specifically. It was like my first, like, what are you doing? Is there something wrong with you? He wanted to hire a product manager. And we interviewed a bunch of people and I had them go through the whole, you know, the startup charade of like 14 interviews, which we do need to fix the interview process. It's yes. Too long and too lengthy. But like, you have to meet like me and then the CTO and then the staff that you're working with.
Yes.
Just to make sure there's like this culture fit. And I remember he's like, no, I'm going to end. You're going to bring them in the office and I'm going to interview them first. I'm like, okay, good. That's one less thing I have to do. Okay. And he did. And then he would bring in everybody else and then they would interview him. And then he's like, you're last. I'm like, why? He's like, cause you're the scariest. I was like, I was like, I'm not scary. Uh-huh. And so I go in there and I interview them and then everyone would leave and then we go and we talk about it. He goes, so what did you think? I'm like, well, I liked one because he was this, he was that, he was this, but I don't think he's a culture fit. I like two because he's a culture fit, but he doesn't have the experience. Three is like this and four is like this. I think we should keep looking. And he's like, you know what? That's exactly what I thought. And I'm like, well, if I could do the job, anybody can do the job. And I've been doing the job thus far. He's like, I thought that too. So we're going to give you promotion and you're going to now be a product manager instead of this, as well as still be my EA. And I'm
wow.
You're kidding. It's cute. It's really sweet, but no. And he's like, no. And so I remember taking classes at General Assembly to learn what like product, I didn't even know what a product manager was, alone with the
kids.
So like I took classes at General Assembly and I realized it was really no different than being an EA because I managed all his products and all his projects and all that stuff. It was no different. Like those soft skills translated. I just didn't understand the lingo. I started to run Scrum. So you learn the lingo and you learn the people.
Yes.
So like it's actually an advantage to be at a disadvantage right now.
That
because
is huge. I'm going to quote you on that. Seriously. And I've never thought of that before, but you nailed it. Now talk to us about NFTs because I totally get you now. I understand you just kept getting promoted and like because you show up, build up. That's what I say.
Well, what's funny is I didn't get promoted. I just got added stuff to my title. Like my you look at my LinkedIn, it just is like a lot of executive assistant and operations manager. Like I never got like a chief of staff title till NFT Genius.
What is NFT Genius? You got to tell us about this. Cause I saw it. I'm like, I need her on.
NFT Genius is like the coolest corporation ever. Like we are so cool here. Like I hate to say it like that, but
it sounds amazing.
We have so much fun and we're all like brothers and sisters, which sounds very weird, but we're all like a giant family.
Yeah.
And we work in a business together. You know, I met them while during the pandemic. I was going through a rough time in the pandemic. I obviously everyone got either furloughed or laid off. I was working two jobs because I have like severe ADD. So on the weekends I would bartend, and throughout the week I had my 9 to 5 because like I can't sit still. And I lost them both obviously during the pandemic. I was super depressed. I started to educate myself on blockchain and cryptocurrencies.
Why? Tell me why.
Why was I depressed, or why was I educating myself on?
Tell me why. Not depressed, because I've been there before.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I'm saying like, what brought up blockchain? Like,
please nobody take offense to this if this is offensive, but like, no. I have a bunch of friends who are not the brightest crayons in the box. Like, they're just not that intelligent, but they're still my friends. I love them nonetheless, but they were like killing it trading cryptocurrencies. And I just didn't understand crypto. I was like, I don't get it. This is invisible money, you guys. And they're like, it's so easy, Curtis, and they're explaining it to me. And every time they explained it to me, it just confused me further.
Sure.
And I'm like, you guys are not that bright. I can learn this. I can figure this out. So I was like, okay, how do you learn something? I'm a tangible learner. I have to hear it. I have to see it, but I also have to physically do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to turn all three in to be able to do something. So I was like, I'm going to create a business in my mind, take classes, and try to figure out how blockchain and cryptocurrency can work in these businesses. Or I'm going to come up with an idea and see if I can make it apply, like figure out a way to make it fit.
Love,
and
that's what
I did. I started to take ideas that I had and go, okay, I'm learning about blockchain's this. How can I make this business use blockchain? Or how can I use cryptocurrency in this business? Or how can I combine them both to make... So that's what I started to do. And I stumbled into like cannabis for a little bit to figure out how to make it easier for them to accept payments. And blockchain and cryptocurrency seemed like a good substitute because of the ledger that would allow them to be compliant. Then, you know, my dad owns a temporary employment agency. I was like, how can I make blockchain work for his business? Mm. And him and I talked about it. We're actually implementing blockchain in his business because we came up with a solution that we thought was super cool. So he wants to bring his business into Web3, and quaint little businesses like his get left behind when new technology is coming about. So we're working on ways to not only bring his business into Web3, but also bring those similar types of business into Web3 using his application.
I love
so mm-hmm. It became like I became depressed. Passion. Because I felt useless, and couldn't get a job in the pandemic. Like, everybody felt very isolated and useless. I don't think we felt isolated from people. I just think we felt useless. I felt genuinely like I couldn't accomplish anything. So I found ways to give myself accomplishment. And then then I was looking for a job during the pandemic, and I stumbled upon NFT Genius. I genuinely did not think they were going to hire me. I genuinely was like, I'm not qualified for this job. I applied. They brought me in for an interview. I thought the interview went well, but I was like, there's no way they're going to hire me. They moved me on to the CEO. I had a conversation with him. I make this joke all the time. I hate it when people do this, especially like he did it to me. And I'm like, I hate it. And I think I even called him out in the interview, which is like, this is one of those questions that you call when you have, like you ask when you have no better question. He said, give me your 60-second pitch. Why should I hire you? And I hate that question. I hate it. I hate it because it's, in my opinion, and I've told him this, it's one of those questions that puts people in two places mentally. The anxiety space of, I have all this ability to do amazing things for you. And if you're like me, they're all hitting you at the same time and you can't pick which one to use.
Sure.
Or which ones to use. Or you get put on the spot and you instantly draw a blank, and you could be the most qualified person. But in that moment, because you weren't expecting that question, nothing bubbles up. Neither one is a good response.
That's true.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath. And he's like, okay. And I think I was actively, I don't know, I have to ask him. I think I was actively like telling him what I'm going to do before I answer the question. He's like, you have 60 seconds. I'm like, consider this a 15-second ramp up. I was like, I taught myself blockchain and cryptocurrency. I have zero experience in your industry. That is a fact. But based on that fact, I've never walked into a business and not killed it. Why? Because I'm not afraid of anything. I've been the dumbest person in the room. I've been the smartest person in the room. I have no fear of taking on a project and saying I'm not good. I have no fear of saying I'm wrong. I have no fear of making a mistake. You're not going to find anybody that moves faster than me or breaks more things than I do. But in that process, I'm going to learn and I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to make us better, faster, and stronger. I'm going to make us bionic. And I think that sold him because he hired me.
Oh yeah. I mean, that I'll tell you what, what you did is you drew out your believability 100% when you said that. I'm like, I believe her 100%.
And yeah, I believe somebody did, because I did not believe that.
No, listen, a lot of people get into the, you know, the BS mode on that question where they just start, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you just, you did the gut, you did the heart.
I spent so much time in startups and so much time in large businesses. The only approach that's ever worked for me was honesty. It's the only approach that's ever worked for me. I've tried being the BSer. I'm not very good at it. I've tried being the person that just sits back and lets things fall apart and then the savior. Again, I'm not very good at that. So the only thing I know how to be is kind of a bull in a china shop. I move fast and I break things, but I'm really good at putting them back together. So and the best part is I got off the phone with him. I told my best friend, I'm like, I totally didn't get that job. Like I was nervous and he put me on the spot and I don't do well when I'm put in those positions. And he liked me and I felt like, oh wow, he's taking a huge risk on me because I've never had a C-level title. I've always been at a C-level level,
but I've
never had the title. Yeah. The title, like, with great power, man, comes great responsibility, Marvel fans. And yes. Like that was a lot of responsibility. And the funny thing is it didn't dawn on me, which it's seriously funny. I was talking to our PR company and saying how I want people to be able to see me and go, oh, she's in this industry, I can get in too, because it's really hard to break into an industry that you don't see any representation of yourself.
No, that's true.
So I'm like, I really want to be like out there. I really want to be on, you know, at conferences and on podcasts to show people that there is representation of Latino women in crypto, in blockchain, in NFTs. And she's like, well, yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. You're chief of staff. I'm like, okay. She's like, you're a C-level executive. I remember going, oh, you're right. Like, this happened like 2 or 3 months ago. I was like, oh, it was like the sun, the sky opened up, the sun started shining. I'm like, oh my God, I am. I am. Holy crap, I am. Like in my mind, I was still an executive assistant, just moving things forward. But I'd actually been given the title. It's just my duties had never changed from when I started 10, 15 years ago to now. Like I've always been that person pushing things along, fixing problems, getting things done. Yeah. So I was like, oh, now I have a voice that people want to listen to because I have this title.
That's good. That is so good. All right. Now tell us, I love this. We got like 3 segments. The first 2 were fantastic. Now, what does NFT Genius do?
So NFT Genius does 3 very specific things. We're storytellers. So NFT Genius started with Bitcoin Origins and they told the story of Bitcoin with NFTs. Which is a very interesting concept if you think about it, because when NFTs came out, they were just really images. Our images told a story. That's what got the attention of Mark Cuban, Anthony Pompliano, Guy Ossari, and Ashton Kutcher. That's why they were our seed investors, is because we were storytellers and we were excellent at it. Then we decided to take it a step further, and we opened up a marketplace called Gaia Marketplace. Gaia Marketplace had, we dropped our viral, it became viral, our viral PHP our PHP project, which was Ballers, that did very, very well on the primary market and even better on the secondary market. Gaia is going to be, Gaia was built on Flow and it's going to be one of the largest platforms. Our goal is to be basically like competition, the biggest competition that OpenSea and all these other ones have had, but we built it on Flow. So our goal is to essentially just be the Cadillac or the Mercedes-Benz of the industry by dropping amazing brands and amazing athletes and amazing products on our marketplace. Now it's not going to just be open to anyone. We want to curate a little bit. We want to make sure that when you're brought on to Gaia, you're having an experience, you're entering a world. Each segment of that world will take you to a new place.
This
and that's
is
our whole intent. and our whole purpose to take you somewhere amazing with each client that we bring on, with each IP that we bring on.
Wow. So I'm totally hearing that you don't want to be, and maybe this is true or not, but this is what I heard. You don't necessarily want to be the biggest,
no.
But you want to be the best, the highest quality, the most curated. So yes. You're going after the quality.
We want quality. And quantity, obviously everybody wants quantity. That's kind of how the world works. But with quality, you're going to get quantity because people are going to recognize that you have a superior product.
That is so good. Okay. So some of my audience, I don't ever insult them, but I know a lot of them are new to the space. And I'm new to the space, even though I've done a lot of research and study. So I want to go back and unpack a few terms that you said.
Absolutely. Okay.
So you said flow. Talk about flow.
Flow is a blockchain that we built Gaia on.
Okay, I love it. So just like you have Ethereum, you have Polygon. You've created flow, which, by the way, I love flow. I wrote a book on flow, as in like flow.
Nice.
The optimal state of human performance, high performance.
So we didn't create flow blockchain. Flow blockchain already existed. We built our platform on flow. We are also one of the first platforms to have the Dapper wallet, which, if you know, the Dapper wallet is NBA Top Shot.
Wow. And NBA Top Shot was crushing it. Maybe they still are, but they were just crushing it in the spring of 2020 when it was all coming, 2021, when it was all kind of hitting the mainstream. Okay. So Dapper wallet, we get that. We get flow. Now tell us, you said Gaia?
Gaia. So our platform name is Gaia, which if you follow mythology, it basically means like Mother Earth.
The world. Is it like G-U-Y-A?
It's G-A-I-A. So our web domain is on Gaia, because when you go there, you're going to be on Gaia.
Nice. Okay, so tell us what makes yours unique, because I know about OpenSea and, you know, was it Rarible and some of these other ones. What's unique about yours? And I'm hearing the word experience a lot.
We're trying to create an experience. We're trying to deliver the best IPs in the world, the best athletes, the best brands, the best artists in the world on our platform. So we want to make sure that when you step on into this world, when you have this experience, that it's truly an encapsulating experience. Our first drop was with our internal IP. It's ballers. It's sports related. So if you love basketball and you're entrenched in that world, you're going to love ballers. I love ballers. I love our RPA. I love it. I love it.
And you just said a term. What did you say? PHP.
So those pixel pictures.
Yes.
Those little pixelate. Those are PHP.
PHP. Okay.
So they look like crypto 1990s. Punks. Yeah. Like, crypto punks. It's like 1990s resurged in images again.
Oh yeah.
It was when I was in the 90s, and I was like, oh, it's a basketball, but it was all pixelated. And like that style of art has resurged again.
Minecraft.
Yes. Which, you know, that leads you into, like you said, the 90s games. It leads you into games on the blockchain. It leads you into internal currencies. It leads you into so many different avenues that will change the world. And those of us who don't adopt Web3 are going to be left behind, because 100%. The entire world is starting to 100%. Adopt it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so with you. In fact, that's where I feel like my passion is. It's to onboard a new world to Web3, because I feel like I'm in the author space, publishing. There's a lot of authors that don't get it. In fact, I've already gotten some resistance, because I'm starting to lead groups of people into Web3, and some of them don't get it. Some of them are against it. And I'm kind of trying to say, I'm trying to help you. So what would you say to the person who says, well, I'm just going to wait 4, 5, 6 years and see if it's really going to happen. Then I might do it.
I'd say, go ahead. And they say, well, okay, well, why? Well, you're probably that guy that missed the dot-com bubble back in the 90s. So you're going to miss it again now.
So there's major opportunity right now.
There's so much opportunity because it's new. An example, and I've given this example multiple times too, when I do conversations about why jobs are going to explode in Web3. When you started a business, you had to have a brick and mortar. That's how businesses work. You had a place where people could go.
Yes.
Then it became like door-to-door salesmen. So you had to have a business card. You were a real business person if you had a business card. Then it became a website. Were you even in business if you didn't have a website? Like, that was unheard of at this point. Like, if you don't have a website, you're not a real company. Then it became apps. Everybody has an app. Everybody. Domino's Pizza has an app. You know, like, everybody has an app for their company. You're not a business unless you have an app. If you follow that, what's next? If you're not A, with the way government's going, decentralization is more and more appealing.
Yes.
But B, transparency is appealing. And yes. C, all history dictates that technology is going in a certain direction. Why would you not read the writing on the wall and jump on?
Yes.
But if you don't want to, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to force you to take advantage of opportunity. That is not my job. My job is to let you know that that opportunity exists and to assist you in attaining that opportunity.
Oh, that's
good. You can't lead a horse to water. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. Yes. I'm going to lead as many people to Web3 as I can, but I'm not going to make them adopt it if they don't want to. The only thing that NFT Genius can do, the only thing that I can do, is make the technology so easy to use, so simple to understand, that it's no different than with the technology that using the technology that they're already using.
That's cool. So you're trying to shorten the gap, almost like I had another guest where we talked about when you first get a phone upgrade. At first you hate it. You're like, oh, where are my things? But then 3 days later, you start saying, oh, that's why they did the update. And oh, look at that new feature. So for some people, that's how little we're trying to make the steps. For other people, like, getting them to use a cell phone will be a huge step because they're just not there. Like a wallet, you know, a digital wallet's a big step for a lot of the population. But if we can start, I've heard that if we start putting movie tickets in digital wallets and concert and sports, people will start getting comfortable with the technology and then it won't be as big of a step. Do you agree with that?
I completely agree, but I also think that from personal experience, I worked in NFT Genius for like 6 months and I didn't own an NFT because the experience of buying one irritated the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Like
you got it. You got to get, got to put money in, go to an exchange. Yeah. It's complex.
If they simplify, and again, my father's in the blockchain, him and I have lots of conversations about it. And a lot of what our conversation is I want to do this, but they've made it difficult. I'm not going to do it until they simplify it. Not that he doesn't want to partake in buying, not that he doesn't want to be a part of the ecosystem, but he's a businessman. Yes. He doesn't have time to sit, you know, to spend 45 minutes creating a MetaMask, going on OpenSea, buying it currency, swapping that currency for the currency that needs to be purchased to buy this. He doesn't have the time, nor does he have the desire.
Too much friction.
Exactly. The reason why Amazon was so successful, and we use Amazon as a basis of conversation for success. We do it for a reason. He had the one-click purchase.
Yes.
That changed how people it was no longer hard. It was no longer 3 or 4 steps of like, I got to do this. I got to do this. No, he made it simple.
That's
good.
The
simpler you make it, the more people adopt. Why? Because it's easy. It's one less thing I have to do.
This is good. Now you, I can tell why they hired you.
Yay.
I mean, it makes sense.
I'm super insecure.
No, it makes a lot of sense because you take complexity and you know, my wife's very much the people person extrovert. She was a server you can just tell that you're wired in a way that it's almost like honestly like a menu. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said you're a bartender, you go into the restaurant and the menu looks overwhelming. And they often say to the server, what do you suggest? Mm-hmm. And that's what I kind of see you doing. You're almost serving the new world a menu called NFT Genius.
Absolutely. And I love what I do. I love the people I work with. Mm-hmm. You know, I have, Jeremy is the CEO. Kurt is the CTO. These are like my brothers. Like they're like my brothers. Like I'll spend hours talking to them on the phone or texting them about random things that are going on there. And it's fun. It's not work. So mm-hmm. I find that I'll be up till 2 a.m. talking about a problem that we had in the company that we're trying to actively solve, and I could use some assistance in terms of advice, or I am stuck on this problem. Like, here's my solution. But I don't necessarily think it's the right solution because there's 1,000 ways to skin a cat. So could you give me some feedback? Maybe you're seeing a different solution. Mm. And we spend hours on the phone talking, and it feels like minutes. Like there's times where I'm like, wait, we spent 2 hours on the phone talking? Wow. Okay. Oh, it's 2 a.m. Holy bananas. I need to go to bed. Like I need to get up early.
Yeah.
It's just, I do have an immense amount of respect for everybody. Like we have an amazing team of people. Mm. We have an amazing team that worked with us. And
I
genuinely respect them. And I genuinely have love for them. So when something happens, my first instinct is A, to protect them if something outside threatening, like I'm the oldest sister of three, but like it's also to help them become the best versions of themselves. Mm. And it does go back to being a bartender or a server. I do have a lot of gratitude for those positions because they taught me how to read people.
Yes.
They gave me the opportunity to come into contact with hundreds of people from different backgrounds, different education styles, different ethnicities, different everything. Well, and I can usually walk into a room and spend 20, 30 minutes looking at someone, not even having the conversation myself, and go, oh, this person's uncomfortable. You need to make them comfortable. I think that's what made me valuable when I first started a business is the CTO I worked for would go into meetings and I'd send him text messages of like, hey, they were really engaged in what you were saying and they're not engaged in what so-and-so is saying. You need to steal the conversation back. Or now his body language shifted. He looks unhappy. This, that, and the other thing. Or it's very obvious that he doesn't like so-and-so. So at the end of this meeting, take him out to lunch. He likes you.
Okay.
So I can literally, and it comes from bartending, especially I bartend in nightclubs. So you're looking out for dangers. You're looking out for potential threats. You're looking out for people's safety in general, but you're also looking for other things. You're looking for people having fun. You're looking for people who look a little too young. You're looking for very specific things. And if you're busy the way the nightclub I worked at was, you have 1.5 seconds to make a decision.
Wow.
You're looking, because you're 4 people deep in people at a bar all the way around.
And noise, you literally distractions, everything. Yeah.
Wall-to-wall people. So you're looking at a person, you're going, they're too drunk. You have no idea if they're too drunk, to be fully transparent, but their eyes are bloodshot. Their body language is swaying. You're going to hold off on them and hand them a water while you get other people because you need to assess the situation a little longer. Or, you put your hand up to call security, and security, I'm 4'11". Security really had to look for me. but like, hey, like check this guy out for me real quick. Like you have to be able to assess really quickly. And I think people who have from the pandemic the people who were servers and bartenders and waitresses, all those people who were out of jobs during the pandemic, I think they translate the best into Web3.
People, processes,
mm-hmm. And ambiguity. They're good at assessment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
they
so
see
good.
Things.
Yeah.
And I think those are the people that should be learning to do smart contracts and learning to code, because the opportunity is there for them and so is the money. It also gives them the flexibility. Like I have friends that were bartenders and servers and cocktail waitresses because they were actors, actresses, models, musicians. You know, this industry is growing and there's such a need for flexibility, number one, but number two, developers, smart contract writers, project managers, UX, UI designers, all things that are either very analytical or very creative, which usually hit the few spots that they are, like they resonate with. That's not serving. Serving gave me a lot of skills, not gonna pretend like it didn't, but it was probably the most miserable I've ever been, because you realize you're a servant and people look down on you.
It wasn't your final resting spot. You knew that. Everyone knew it. It was a transitional job because you have a bigger calling in your life.
It just taught me a lot. And if I can teach other people the same things that I learned, I'm insecure. Like most people, like, oh no, I wouldn't see that. I'm so insecure. And it deeply affects me, because it makes me hesitant to even come on this podcast. Like, it took me like I think a month to schedule some time with you, because I didn't feel like I should be doing podcasts. Like, I should be a source of information, because I was a server and because I did all these things. Because I've been told I was an EA, and like EAs are they're just assistants. They don't do anything special. You're just a server, you know. So I have this indoctrination of like, I'm not special. I shouldn't be doing this. And it took me a long time to sit there. I remember looking at the email, like, click. And I would go in, I'd open it, and I would be like, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. Because of that fear that was indoctrinated in me. If I can get one person to not feel that fear and just take a risk, whether it's someone from the serving industry into Web3, whether it's someone from finance into Web3, whether it's a retiree who's bored and wants to get a job in Web3 to educate themselves on it, whether it's a college student who's looking for someone to mentor them, because mentorship is so important. It sets those building blocks for your success 20 years later. Someone taking 2 years of time making me a better person is why I am here now.
Yes.
And you know, my mentor 10, 15 years ago from Go Moment, I didn't know it then. I definitely didn't know it 5 or 10 years later. But now I realize a lot of my, I'll just figure it out. And like, if you ever see me in a call, it's like, I'll just figure it out. It's fine. Like, I'm always like, I'm in my mind. So it's like, it comes off very like abrasive and like cold, but I'm like, no, I'll get it. I'll figure it out. It's fine.
Yeah.
I got it from him.
Was his name Jay, did you say?
Jay Crouch.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. I love it.
He was amazing. You know, I take a lot. I didn't take it. I didn't realize. I think when you loot, like when you're not friends with someone or you don't talk, you don't realize how much impact they had. But absolutely, I am definitely the person I am today because he mentored me. He took years of his life and invested that time into me. And I would love to do that with as many people as possible, because it had such a profound impact on me. And I didn't realize it at the moment, but 10, 20 years later, it definitely shaped me as a human. And I'm greatly appreciative of that.
This is so good. All right. So we got to wrap this up in 3 minutes. We'll go into speed lightning round here. Okay. So I'm super excited that you're in this space because you're just a ball of energy. But secondly, you said it. You said you are a female Latino representative in blockchain, Web3.
What are you unicorn?
I'll tell you what, I've been reaching out to people and I love the people that have been saying yes. We had two, their own definition, black millennials, 25 guys. We had a 25-year-old metaverse architect, female, you know? So I love the fact that this industry seems to be drawing diversity. I had a guy with blue hair the other day. Tano. So what do you hope? First of all, why did you say yes? I'm glad you did. Why did you say yes finally? And then what do you hope people do from this podcast?
I said yes to being on your podcast because my best friend was basically said, you've taught me so much thus far. And I've been teaching her about crypto, and we've been making our own gender of art series because we're both passionate about the same things. And I've been called a BITCH many times in this industry thus far, just for being strong and standing my ground.
Really?
We thought Crypto Bitches was a funny name. And we wanted to create a series that represented how we feel. Now she's actively involved in the industry. And I'm like, wow, if I could get, like, if I could change your mind, damn, I can do some really amazing things because you're
yeah. stubborn. Is that what your project's named?
Yeah, that's what we're working on now. We had a lot of fun. Like, it was just to teach us how to create generative art. But
yeah.
because I'm a doer, I have to play with things to get it to understand it really, yeah. to indoctrinate it in my brain. Yeah. But once we did it, we're like, we should just release this. And then we see all the wonderful female generative art series, like Women and Weapons and Wow. And there's just so much things. And then in terms of what do I hope that people get from this podcast, change something about what you, if you're not happy, make a change. If you want to get in Web3, start learning. If you want to get a job in Web3, but you don't understand how, look at your soft skills. Figure out what jobs are in the industry that your soft skills pick those, like, oh, I'm a this, but it also means I can do this, this, and this in Web3, and pitch that to companies. I get pitched every day about, like, well, I want a job at NFT Genius. Cool. What can you do? Oh, I don't know. Okay, well, that doesn't help me. Well, what jobs do you have open? That's not the, well, you obviously know that we're hiring. So tell me what job I should be hiring.
Yes.
For. Hey, Chris.
How are you going to create value?
Exactly. Tell me why I should hire you. And I don't mean a 60-second pitch. I mean, I worked at as a server, but because I know how to read people and I had to manage multiple conflicts, I could be a project manager. The only thing I need from you, Carissa, is mentorship and maybe I need to take a PM course.
Wow.
Oh, okay. I'm investing in you and you're going to become cool. That's great. I have no qualms with that. But when you come and you're like, hey, I want to work for you. Like, great. Tell me why. Tell me what you can do. And they're like, I don't know.
I see you as a believer in people. You are rooting for their success. You just want them to be able to believe it themselves. And if they can, you'll be all over it.
There's nothing you can't do. Genuinely. There's nothing you can't do. It doesn't matter age, race, education level. None of that is a factor or a barrier in anything. I have been told many times that I can't do thousands of things that not only have I crushed at, but I'm the only person that's ever crushed it. Why? Because you told me I couldn't do it. And my point, I wanted to prove that I could. I'm not talking about something I want to do. I don't want to be the best volleyball player, but I was a great digger. You know, you told me I couldn't play volleyball. I'm 4'11". Well, you know what? I'll find a way to play it and I'll be the best at it.
Ooh, that's
I box. Cool. I was always told that girls shouldn't box. And this is when before all the cool, MMA fighters and things of that nature. I'm a great boxer.
Wow.
Why? Because you say I can't. Let me show you. So if I can conquer my fear of being on your podcast and being a representative for women of ethnicity in Web3, then you can step out of your own fears and do the same thing. Because I promise you, I was riddled with, I almost canceled on you yesterday because I was so terrified to do this. And every time I go on a podcast, there's 5 minutes beforehand, there's this panic of, I'm the wrong person to be doing this. Yep. And we all feel like this. Every successful person has imposter syndrome.
Yes.
I'm here to say, it's okay. Embrace that imposter syndrome and tell that person inside you that's telling you no, show them that you can do it. There's two parts to you.
That's so good. Give us the domain name and then I'll dismiss us. But how can we find out more about you and your company, everything?
Absolutely. NFT Genius, I would go to www.ongaia.com. We're actively doing drops. You can follow us at Ballers, if you're interested in the PHP stuff that we're doing. We dropped Sharif's, with Shaquille O'Neal's sons, also dropped his NFTs on Gaia.
Wow.
So you're more than welcome to go check that out there. We're going to be doing a lot more sports stuff in the future, as well as broadening that. So if you guys love sports and you guys want to partake in buying sports NFTs, go to On Gaia, follow us there. Join any of our newsletters, because we do send out newsletters that update our fan base in terms of what we're doing next.
Sure.
And you know, follow me on LinkedIn. It's Carissa W. There's like an old LinkedIn apparently that someone stole and redid of mine. So it's Carissa W.
All right, good. Well, Carissa, thank you for all the value you gave to us today, and we are better because of you. Seriously.
And if you're looking to get into the space and learn from like getting an economy wise, like other people, look up NFT thought leaders. They're a community of people that educate you on NFTs, blockchain, and they do conferences and things of that nature. And they're amazing people. They're amazing people.
Awesome. NFT Thought Leaders. Sounds good, my friend. All right. Well, you take care.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.